You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we began to talk about vocation insofar as a fourth estate, if you will. When Luther talks about vocation, he talks about vocation in these three estates of the church, the family, and society. But then he has this fourth category, which would be kind of the common order of Christian love, and this is in the realm of the Good Samaritan. So in our last lecture, we began this discussion talking about the idea of an occupation and trying to transition from an occupation to opportunity to serve. And of course, we contrasted the American cultural perspective compared to the biblical perspective on what this occupation or calling is to serve. That in American society, the occupation that you have is your identity insofar as it's the way to earn a living, to gain money, it's the means to the end, so that you can obtain this money, this salary, to pay for all of your hobbies or your vacations or whatever it may be that you want to engage in. Especially in American society, that emphasis on sensuality and entertainment. But of course, the biblical viewpoint is that an occupation is a place that is unique to each individual, that God has placed the individual with a certain amount and unique talents and abilities to serve in that capacity and in that place. But we want to move from this occupation of American mentality to just fuel sensuality toward a biblical understanding of occupation in which you serve those within the realm of your work, which may be other employees, employers, but also to go beyond this, that in this occupation, you have unique talents. And so you move from this occupation to opportunity, how we are to serve each other, as we interact with each other in an informal way throughout everyday life. For instance, feeding the hungry, giving a drink to the thirsty, or clothing the naked, tending to the sick, or praying for others. All of these are in the realm of Christian love, in this common order of this love that we find the opportunity to serve as the opportunity arises, that God brings this before our eyes, so that we would then be a blessing to others as God has blessed us. Now, when Luther wrote his book, The Freedom of a Christian, back in 1520, of course, he dedicated it to the Pope, and it kind of just tears apart this medieval concept of the spiritual callings reserved for the monastery, the vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience. This old medieval way that only that is a special calling of where you are a service to God. And so Luther writes this book, The Freedom of a Christian, to teach us exactly what good works are. Again, as we've talked before, God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. So that in Christ we are a new creation and we are now free to serve one another. So in Luther's treatise on the freedom of a Christian, he writes and he puts this into two points. He says this, first, a Christian is a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none. And then his second statement is this, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. And so Luther puts forth these two assertions that seem to be a paradox, contradict one another. One says that we are free from all, subject to nobody, and then the other one says that in Christ, our freedom actually gives to us the ability to be a servant of all and to willingly subject ourselves to everyone. And Luther comes to this based upon a meditation on two passages in particular that he ties to these assertions. The first one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, in which the Apostle Paul writes this, "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all." And so here in this passage, Paul notes that he's been called by the gospel and he is free from all. Yet, being called from the gospel, now he is free to serve all. And then in particular, in his calling as an apostle, in that unique occupation in which he is to teach the revealed word given to him by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he would go and proclaim that, so that he is free from all, and now he is subject to all. And he concludes that statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19, by saying this, "that I might win more of them." And then he goes on to say, "to the Jews, I became a Jew, to the Gentiles, I became a Gentile," so that he is free from all, yet he is servant of all for the sake of the gospel in his calling as an apostle, that he would take that gospel to all people in any circumstance and in any way that he has opportunity. Now, Luther also is meditating on the passage from Romans chapter 13, verse 8, in which the Apostle Paul writes to the baptized in Rome and says this, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." And that's Romans chapter 13, verse 8. So again, it's the same kind of a construct that Luther puts together before our eyes, that you are to owe no one anything. You owe nobody. Yet, you are to love each other. So you owe nobody, but yet you love everybody. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians, again, "I'm free from all, yet I am servant to all." So that's why Luther says, "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." So that we understand that we in Christ have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we have freedom in Christ. We are now alive in Christ. We are dead to sin. And now we are free to serve one another in righteousness, to be used as instruments of righteousness, as Paul will tell us in Romans chapter 6. But like we've said before, when the Lord tells us to love one another, he then puts us into these vocations, these callings and places in which we can serve. And then he also gives to us these unique opportunities to serve. But as soon as the Lord puts everything into order, the devil isn't too far behind trying to bring disorder from everything. So that the devil will try to tempt us to use our freedom in Christ to promote anarchy. So that we are free in Christ, and the devil tempts us then to love nobody but ourselves. And this is how this works in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Notice that the Good Samaritan, he's that one who found the opportunity to love in that unique situation. But notice that the order was already put there by God for the Levite and the priest. The Levite was to serve in a unique way to love his neighbor. The Levitical priest also was to serve in this occupation in a unique way to love neighbor. But again, just as soon as God puts everything in order to bestow his blessings upon creation, the devil will come and try to overturn this. So you have the Levite who walks past this man who is in need, because this is outside his vocation. He has other things to tend to. Or the priest, he walks past the man on the side of the road because he is far too busy with his occupation that he cannot help this man in need when the opportunity is before his own eyes. So again, in our lecture today, we're going to focus on this understanding of occupation that flows into opportunity. That God has called us and put us into unique vocations, but in those unique vocations, He also blesses us with special talents and abilities to love one another. And then that flows into opportunities that the Lord Himself will give to us. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, we see Paul addressing the baptized in Galatia, and he says this in verse 1 of chapter 5. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And so this is how he begins the fifth chapter, saying that we are baptized, we are crucified with Christ, we are a new creation, we have been clothed with Christ, we are heirs of the kingdom, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are free, subject to none. But yet we are to be careful, to stand firm, to be alert, because we know that the devil is around the corner, ready to bring disorder where God has placed order. Where God has brought freedom, the devil lurks behind us, ready to bring slavery. And so that's how Paul opens Galatians chapter 5. Now if we drop down to Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 15, and we follow what Paul is instructing us in as the Holy Spirit uses him as an instrument in his unique vocation to bring to us the apostolic message. And so Paul writes and says this, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." So here, Paul is addressing the issue of those who've been baptized in Galatia who are being confused on what this freedom in Christ means. That are they to submit to a yoke of slavery? Are they to be circumcised? Are they to go back under the law, but now they are under grace? Are you to use this freedom to indulge the flesh and sensuality? What are you to do with this newfound freedom that you have in Christ? What law are we to follow? Are we to follow no law at all? It's just self-indulgence in whatever we may deem the best feeling or the best sensation at hand? Well, Paul says no. The one who is free in Christ is now free to serve. Free to love neighbor. Again, God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. And so Paul directs these baptized Christians to love one another. And he continues, if you drop down to the next verse, 16. Again, that was Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 through 15. And now if we begin at 16 and continue his train of thought. Paul says this, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. So this is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. And you have the contrast here that Paul sets up between the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. And so Paul says the works of the flesh are obvious. It's all these sinful, wicked, unrighteous desires that we have because we are part of fallen creation. So that even one who has been baptized, one who has been called out of darkness into light, still has sin that remains in this body that we have. But this sin shall not reign over us. For we are no longer under sin, we are no longer under death, we are not under the law, we are under grace. And so these works of the flesh are the ways of the world. It's the way in which you serve yourself, you serve your own selfish desires. All of these ideas that are listed out sound just like pop American culture. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. This American way of doing things, of course, is all about the senses. To engage in these experiential feelings to make ourselves satisfied by our own sinful desires. And so we understand that in American culture, again, an occupation is seen as a means to an end. The occupation is the means through which you obtain money so that you can engage in all of these works of the flesh. And that's the way the promotion is. But contrary to this, for the one who has been baptized, the one who belongs to Christ, the one who has faith, eyes that see, ears that hear, and a heart that believes all the promises of God, that gift of the Holy Spirit has been promised. And that Holy Spirit continues to work in the life of the believer, whereas the devil continues to work in the life of the unbeliever. But the Holy Spirit desires to produce fruit. Now look at the contrast of these fruits of the Spirit. When you talk about the first one, love, the Holy Spirit enables you and produces in you the desire to love God and to love neighbor. That you have been loved by God, and therefore you are enabled to love neighbor. So these are the fruits of the Spirit. Love and joy, peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And you can see how these gifts of the Spirit, these fruits, are of service to the neighbor. So that one who is joyful is able to bring joy in all circumstances. One who is at peace with God is able to be a peacemaker. One who is gifted with patience is able to endure the situations and the burdens placed in the variety of vocations and opportunities that arise as we interact with neighbor. These fruits of kindness and gentleness and goodness, see how these are all of benefit in service to neighbor? And so this is the way of the gospel. To be in Christ, you're a new creation, and you have been called out of darkness, and now you are to serve God by loving neighbor. And so Paul will then go on to say in the next chapter, and this is what is vitally important to understand this transition from an occupation in which you're given unique talents. And each one of us are given unique gifts of the Spirit as the Spirit himself delivers them. And so in Galatians chapter 6, next chapter, verses 9 through 10, this is what Paul says. and let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap, if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So again, this is Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And see, here we understand this calling out of darkness into light that a Christian has through the gospel. And then the Christian, wherever you were called in life, whatever vocation, occupation that you were already in, well, now in that occupation, you are to serve as one who is no longer under the law, but under grace. One who is a servant of God and an instrument of righteousness. And so beyond that occupation and the vocations and the places where God has put you in a very ordered way, there is also in the informal way where opportunity arises. So that by nature, we don't want to do good by nature. And the devil, of course, tempts us and encourages us not to do good for neighbor, but instead only do good for ourselves. And so this is why the Holy Spirit continues to encourage us. And he continues to teach us. And he continues to strengthen us and help us and uphold us, that we are not to grow weary in doing good. Because when you are of service to neighbor, there may be many times where you get no thanks for it. But you do what you are to do as a dutiful servant, not for the praise of the world, but out of love for God. So we're not to grow weary in this. Knowing that the Lord knows what we are doing. And it is for the benefit of our neighbor, even if our neighbor does not see it as a benefit. So Paul encourages us to not grow weary in doing good, even in these mundane things. Simply giving somebody a cup of water. Helping somebody out when the individual is hungry. Clothing somebody who is naked. Helping and visiting somebody who is sick. So that as opportunity arises, we are to be of service and to do good. And so Paul says to everyone, and especially to those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. So, of course, in our vocation, in our calling, if we are called to be a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, a child, of course, in those vocations and callings, we are to serve one another. But we are to serve everyone as opportunity arises, like that good Samaritan that was found on the when he found that hurt individual on the side of the road who had been beaten and robbed by the thugs of the world. Now that's Paul in Galatians. Let's turn over to Paul in Ephesians. And so Paul again talks to the baptized in Ephesus in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul writes and he says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. So again, Paul is called to be an apostle. And so in this unique occupation, in this unique vocation, he is to teach the apostolic message as delivered by the Holy Spirit to the saints in Ephesus, to the saints throughout the world in those days. And he continues to teach us by this written word as we meditate upon it in our day. And so again in Ephesians, that's how he begins, talking to the saints, those who are holy, those who are baptized. And then in chapter 5, again, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. That's where he brings in our calling and baptism in chapter 5, verses 25 through 26, that we are this priesthood, this holy priesthood, to be of service to neighbor throughout our days as we serve the Lord. But now back in chapter 2, notice that Paul is addressing the saints, the baptized, the holy ones. And in chapter 2, he says this, it's at verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. See, again, our status before God, our standing before God, is not based upon our own merit or our own works. This is by grace. For the sake of Christ, God is merciful upon us, and he declares us righteous, imputing the righteousness of Christ upon us, and remitting all of our sins, and giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And through the gospel, the Holy Spirit comes to open our hearts and to change our hearts that we may believe these wonderful promises of God. That we are created in Christ for good works. We are a new creation. We are now servants of righteousness. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul addresses this. Verse 17 in particular. Let's look there. Paul writes, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." Again, this is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. When Paul addresses the way we are to walk as those who are in Christ, he gives to us once again our identity and our baptism. We are in Christ. We are a new creation. We are not to walk in the old way of things, in the old fallen creation type of way. We are not to be selfish, giving ourselves up to sensuality and greedy to practice every kind of impurity, which, of course, again, is the American cultural way of doing things. That this occupation that we have is for money. And we have the money so that we can engage in all of these desires of the flesh. And it's contrary to our culture because we still live in a fallen world. And so we are reminded time and time again about our identity in Christ. We have died with Christ. We live with Christ. Our bodies have been united to his body on the cross in our baptism, and our bodies have been united to his resurrection in our baptism. We belong to Christ. And as those who have been redeemed by Christ, we are to love God by serving neighbor. And we look for opportunities to serve. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16, the Holy Spirit teaches us this through the mouth of Paul. "Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil."
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.